Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Greg Dickerson and Lou Merlone, broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
Welcome back. Red Sox Winter Weekend down here at Foxwoods. Lou Merlone and Greg Dickerson. And we're now joined by, as I mentioned during Trending Now, Big Poppy David Ortiz. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
You're doing good. You're looking good.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Man, you're a TV guy now.
Hey, well, you know. You already know. You know how that works.
I wanted you to get, well, I forget, what was that last call, I think, when the Red Sox beat the Yankees? When the game
Yankees lost.
I love that thing. Caravas going nuts with it, though. But you had a lot of fun on this thing, especially with Alex. You guys going back and forth in the postseason.
Yeah, man. You know, me and Alex, you know, we go way back. And being there, and he helped me a lot with the information and the things. You know, he's on TV more than what I do. And we feed each other with information and stuff like that. And it's fun, man. And sometimes it even feel like we are on the field doing our thing, you know, because I remember just going into the playoff and seeing the rival, how it went down during the regular season. I mean, the Yankees have a good season. They won 100 games. So when you win 100 games during the regular season, you killed it, you know. But having the team that we have and going beyond, I can't remember when was the last time two teams won 100 games in the same division.
I don't know.
I can't even
sure
remember.
Sure, we were talking about it back in October, but I don't remember what the stat was.
Yeah, it was crazy. So that was when everything began, you know. That was when the back and forth with me and Alex started, and we was pushing hard for each ball club, and me being part of the organization, I still working with the Red Sox and doing things during the regular season and giving feedback to a lot of my boys, you know, coming to spring training. It's something that seeing what happened last year, it made me so happy because it makes you feel like you are on the field with those guys, because most of those kids, Mookie, Bogar, JBJ, a lot of those guys, even David Price when he first came in, we feed each other with information. We won process everything together, you know, and going into the clubhouse and spring training for the 2018 season, the feeling that I had was the good chemistry, the team being together. Alex Cora, I mean, doing what he's doing with those guys, like I talk to my boys pretty much every other day, you know, and the feedback that you get from all the players is like, man,
we love
Alex. We love what he do. The way he handled business with us is something that it gets no better. And those are the things that make you win ball game. Those are the things that make you win championship, you know, and I'm so happy and proud of those guys. And man, I'm telling you, you walk around and you see these kids, and it seems like it's not going to stop. That train going to continue moving forward. Mm-hmm.
Why did you think Alex Cora would be a good manager back in the day, back a few years ago when you played with him?
Alex, he was like this guy right here. And let me tell you why you guys have similarities in between as what you guys did as a player. I saw you when you wasn't playing, mm-hmm. paying attention to details that not many players pay attention to. That's how you start building up the being manager part of it without sometimes even knowing it. Because when you're playing, you're not thinking about being a manager or being a coach. You're playing. You are in it. I saw exactly the same thing coming from Alex. When we were teammates, I remember Alex used to feed me and Manny with information, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the rest of the team, things that he used to see that goes beyond what player normally see. I remember Alex used to come to me and be like, hey, this guy, he's doing this with his glove when he's going to throw a slider. I mean, those little things, not too many guys can see that. He giving the steal sign. Now, that was Alex while he was playing. So I saw him doing that, and I was like, man, this guy, Alex, his baseball, the way he know baseball, it just different, you know. And I think he came in at the right time because baseball is different now than when we play. You know, you have the youth taking over the game. You have everybody being 18, 19, 20. Those guys get to grow up into the organization different than our days. You know, and you need to have somebody that know how to keep up with them so they come in every day and try their best and give everything they have. I mean, Alex is that guy. Alex is the guy that you want to come to the field every day as a player. Even the groundskeeper guy, they want to make sure that field is good to go because of Alex. Alex bring the smile, make everybody feel comfortable around him. All the players love him. And you see the result. First year manager, boom, winning a World Series. You don't get no better than that.
So for years, it was always you and Manny, right? Best 3-4 combo in all of baseball. Did you ever think you'd see a right-handed hitter in a Red Sox uniform resemble Manny as much as J.D. Martinez did this past year?
To be honest with you, when I saw J.D., I came to spring training last year right about when he joined the team. When he finished the contract situation and everything, I got to spring training, I would say, a day or two after he joined the club. And when I watched J.D. hitting batting practice, it was one of the most impressive thing that I have ever seen. And let me tell you why. They're hitting on the backfield at JetBlue Park where the wind is just blowing in. And this guy was hitting ball opposite field like he was a left-handed power hitting ball that way. Pay attention to this. People will believe that the hitter that can be successful at Fenway is the one that pull every single ball over the Green Monster. The reason why Manny Ramirez was so successful is because Manny drive the ball opposite field with power. That's J.D. Martinez. J.D., I was watching him hitting ball over and over and over and over. Opposite field, over and over and over. And I'm like, we're just walking into the perfect situation because of it.
There was no way to pitch to a right-handed hitter like that at Fenway.
Exactly.
The fastball at a half, he'll launch over the bullpen. So you come in, you got the Green Monster.
Exactly.
And I remember when they signed him saying, the fact this guy's got so much power in the opposite field, I don't know how you pitch to him at Fenway Park.
There you go.
He
don't try to pull the ball. He stayed through the ball better than anybody I have seen. I see a guy like Miguel Cabrera, Manny, Albert Pujol, guys that stay through the ball. They wait for the ball into the last second. J.D. Martinez is one other guy. That's why you see that his numbers just do nothing but get better and better and better because he had the game plan. I had some feedback from the guys talking about his approach during the regular season, during the playoff. This guy is a beast. This guy is a monster. This is a guy that you want to have it in your ball club. And, matter of fact, I say this. If we would have a guy like J.D. Martinez in the lineup for the 2017 season, we probably would have won World Series back-to-back because that was what we were missing on that lineup. Mm-hmm. If you see the guys, the same lineup that played in 2017 was exactly the same lineup with a different of Hanley that playing the 2017 season, and the numbers went up in the 18 season, went down, in the 2017 season. But then you go to the back, you go back to my last year playing, those numbers stuck up because you need that center of attention on the line that take pressure out of the rest of the squad.
Are there many guys around Major League Baseball who can hit like J.D. Martinez, who can do the things that he does when you talk about going the opposite way with power?
Very few. Very few. Not many. You're talking about Mike Trout. You're talking about Miguel Cabrera when he's healthy. There's not many, though. Listen, when you do that, there's a base of a trust that you need to have, that you know that when you go that way, you don't have to worry about. There's not that many guys that can be consistently that strong or being consistent about, okay, the inside part of the play is yours. The outer third is mine. Not too many hitters normally do that. And let me tell you, if you think about it, you watch the way the guys pitch, the guys throw harder now, but they like to stay away from hitters because they can really control the inside part of the play. So J.D. Martinez is the perfect combo for that.
So in 2017, your first year out, I always joked around that David Ortiz is still the best hitter in his team. He's just down in the Dominican right now. He ain't playing. Do you have any regrets retiring when you did? Like retiring after the year that you had?
No, not at all. I was happy. I played for so long, and these fans, man, they deserve the best. And me, physically, I was in so much pain. My feet, they were just like killing me, and I couldn't do it no more. I can just be like, okay, I'm gonna play, and then not play. I don't know if you know what I mean. So that's why the situation that I was going through with my Achilles was getting worse and worse and worse, and I couldn't just play for playing again in front of this crowd. Like, we had the best crowd, the best fan in baseball. Like, these people suffer when we are not doing well. So I respect that, and I know that I got out of the game on top, but I want to give them more because they deserve it. And I know my injury wasn't going to allow me to, so that's why I got ready to retire. But look at me now, man. I can dance now and everything.
You're looking good, huh?
See? I have no pain now.
So wait a minute. We got J.D. Martinez. We got Mookie Betts. We got David Ortiz. Boom,
power.
Boom, boom. Right
left-handed
in the lineup
power
now.
I'll be
watching.
So for you, it was health. It was an Achilles, because I don't know if you realize this or not, but a big discussion in this town is happens to be the football player there, that guy Tom Brady, who wants to play till he's 45 years old. So you retired on top of your game. Maybe a lot of it was the health and just a realization. Take me through what's going through, like, the greatest quarterback of all time, wanting to play and walking away on top of the game. Because we're trying to figure that out. You might have a better perspective of, like, what that mindset is more than anybody.
I'm going to give a call to Tom, and I'll be like, bro, don't go anywhere because you don't have no pain. I mean, who is not ready? Somebody raise your hand if you're not ready to watch Tom Brady on Sunday.
Everybody's ready to go.
Everybody always expecting Tom Brady on Sunday during their football season. So I'm so excited the way the Patriots are doing. I can't wait for tomorrow game, because let me tell you what's going to happen. After we win tomorrow, it's over. I'm telling you right now. We beat Kansas City at home, at their place.
Yep.
It's over, because Kansas City, to me, that's the team to beat.
So they win, that's it. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady plays for another 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I don't know. I don't know if I can get used to watch the Patriots play without Brady.
None of us
quarterback.
Can. I don't even think about it.
Picture that. I mean, think about it. Patriots without Tom Brady. How? It's a little confusing.
You know, it doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right, right?
You guys talk at all?
Oh, yeah.
You ever talk about retirement? did he ever ask you, you know, when it's over, you can't get it back? Did he ever talk about that?
He never asked me that question, but if he will, I'd be like, man, shut the hell up. You got many years ago still.
Could you ever have envisioned yourself, if you were healthy, playing until
43, 44?
What people don't realize is that an athlete that played 20, 25 years, your career is still short, because people career, like doctor career, lawyer, what you guys do, you guys can do it into.
Look at Joe Castiggs.
There you go.
He's like 160.
So, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, it's a lot, but I'm 43 years old right now. You know what I'm saying? And I don't play baseball no more. And that was my life. That was everything I know. So, guys, athletes, when you are healthy and you can give the fans what they expect from you, play into whatever you feel like. The longest you do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady, are you kidding me? Who? Look at this guy. He's like the wine. He get better and better and better. So, I wouldn't mind watching him play for another 10 years.
That's because of all the easy rules for quarterbacks in the NFL.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. He's just getting better to protect him. Right. You know what I'm saying? And let's keep one thing in mind. This guy take care of himself better than anybody I have ever seen. The way this guy eat, the way he get prepared, the way he physically take care of himself and mental. I mean, you don't. I mean, athletes are walking into it nowadays. Which this is not gonna surprise me if I see a quarterback playing. How many seasons he had?
Well, 18, right?
18. I won't be surprised if I see a quarterback playing 25. I was with Doug Flutie the other day. We were just talking about it. Doug Flutie played over 20 some seasons. You know, and he's not a big guy. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, last one for me. So I do this show with this football guy, right? He won a couple Super Bowls. I always tell him that by far baseball is the most mentally difficult sport to play. He fights me on it because he thinks football, they're a bunch of sissies. But mentally, would you agree that baseball 162?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Let me tell you why.
Tell him why.
Yeah. The problem is that we play so many games. You have to follow the same routine for so many weeks, so many months. Like baseball, the baseball player have probably 5 weeks off during the year. If you think about it, like, okay, the guys are on vacation right now, but that's not a vacation. Everybody's going at it to be ready for spring training. Like, you don't show up in spring training nowadays to get ready.
You're not like Yaz putting down the cigarettes and then starting to run laps.
Those days are over a long time ago. Like, right now, you got to show up in spring training ready to go. I mean, if you look at the schedule, a week later after you show up in spring training, you're already playing.
Playing games.
You're playing games. And then it's like, okay, you have another week to get your timing down. Now your body. Your body is good to go. Your timing, yes, it takes a minute to get your timing. So, guys, nowadays, like, I saw JBJ training on Christmas Day. Yes. There's a video everywhere.
Take a day off, son.
No. The guys are not playing games right now. The guys are getting ready. So, you have to play. That's one thing that stresses you out, getting ready for the season. And then you have the season, which is long, very long. Your body get beat up mentally. When you have those downsides during the regular season, that beats you up so bad. It starts playing with your mind, and then it goes down into your body. Because, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how tough you are up here. If you physically, you're not ready to go, your body not going to get those sickness. So, You get all the heating while you play, but you play, and I'm not disrespecting what the football. I mean, every sport.
No, it's okay. You
at the pro level, at the professional level, demand a lot of good work ethic. You know, a lot of dedication and professionalism. But baseball, I think, what kills you in baseball is how long the season is.
Every day.
You play over 200 games, if you think about it. Over 200 games.
You're at the damn ballpark for, what, 12 hours during that time?
Listen, my last 10 years playing, I was getting to the field by noon. And every day. So you're spending 12 hours when the game is only three at the field.
So you really should feel bad for the trainer who's going to work on those feet for about 2 hours,
boy,
man.
You had no idea.
Hey, before you, I know you got to get out of here, but real quickly, you were named spokesperson for Foxwoods.
Yeah,
today. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What's that all about?
Well, you know, I've been coming to Foxwoods for so long, and the Foxwoods family, you know, the connection through the rest through the Red Sox. I'm a guy that I've been my family here. There's so many choices. There's so many good things to do around here. It's not only the gambling thing. You can do so many things with your family. And they approached me so we can continue motivating people to come to Foxwood. And I'm more than happy to be part of the family.
Good. So if you're sitting down at a blackjack table and you look to your right, you see a guy that looks like David Ortiz, it might be him. David, thanks so much. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much.
There goes David Ortiz. We'll come back and we'll do more from Foxwoods and Winter Weekend Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Greg Dickerson and Lou Merlone, broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is about Independence Day for NFL America. The reign of terror will finally be over. This is what we're all talking about. Kansas City has to do this for every football fan in America outside of New England. We need this to end. The end of Tom Brady. The end of Bill Belichick. The end of cheating scandals. This sordid history, part of history in the NFL, will come to an end. It's all set up, and we can't wait to finally move on, where we can have other football teams that play by the rules and can give us some variety when it comes to going to the Super Bowl and seeing some new teams there. This is it. I've been calling for it for years, but finally, this is the year where I'm going to be right.
Oh, keep telling yourself that, Rob Parker. Telling yourself that. Lou, I said to you earlier on, my pick is the Chiefs tomorrow. I can tell you, I have never, ever wanted to be wrong more than I want to be wrong because of people like Rob Parker and Max Kellerman and other people around the country.
Well, the reality is that you have to move on from those guys because nothing will ever be done. You can't break them, is the point. I mean, to me, Tom Brady was surgical on Sunday. I know Sony Michel finished with the yards, but he was unbelievable early in this game. And even with that, you hear these guys come up Monday and say, Brady had nothing to do with that. Sony Michel was the MVP of the game.
There were no tight windows.
It was a Bill Belichick game plan. So you just got to come to the reality and grasp of they're never going to give him credit because it's not. It's more of a professional decision. It's part of their routine.
I take it
than
with
anything
a grain
else.
Of salt. I mean, I look who it's coming from.
I mean, let me ask you. So guys like Rob Parker and Max Kellerman, Shannon Sharp, all right? They're trashing Tom Brady. They're trashing the Patriots. And I know publicly they all pick. We all want the Chiefs to win. But professionally, what do you think they want to happen for their own show's purposes? What do you think they want to talk about for the next 2 weeks?
Oh, it's the golden goose.
I mean, Max Kellerman, he can say what he wants about Brady, but he wants to talk about Tom for the next 2 weeks. Same thing with Parker. Same thing with Shannon, because this is something that they're getting attention
for. Guess what? When Tom Brady finally falls off the cliff, guess what? Max Kellerman becomes all of a sudden irrelevant.
He'll find something new.
well, he will find something new, but it's going to take him a while to. All of a sudden, you know, the golden goose that is Tom Brady to talk about, that's gone for Rob Parker.
Yep.
That's gone for Max Kellerman and everybody else. I will say this. You can't blame Kellerman, Parker, anybody else around the country. If this were the Pittsburgh Steelers, if this were the Baltimore Ravens or anybody else, we'd hate him too. And we'd be begging for them to lose. So I don't necessarily blame them for having the irrational hate and the irrational thoughts towards the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick like they do, because we'd all be the same way.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I laughed. I don't know how you felt earlier in the week when Boogie Cousins came out and said that the Golden State Warriors are the most hated team in the country in sports. And it's like, hell, Jesus, Boogie. Like, you know, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this team right here is. This region is.
They're not far off. They're not far.
It's not to the length of the New England Patriots, given you know the success and the reign that they've had. I mean, to the point where you know fans are sitting there saying, you know, the Bruins and the Celtics. Yeah, great. They haven't won in a while. I don't want them to win because I hate the Patriots. You're starting to root against teams in Boston because you hate the Patriots and their success.
Right. I think the difference between the hate of Golden State and the hate towards the Patriots is why would people hate the Golden State Warriors? Other than the fact that they've won so many championships in a row now, whereas with the Patriots, yeah, they've won, but you've also got this pretty boy quarterback.
Well, you've got a few scandals.
You've got a few scandals.
Deny that.
You've got the grumpy, snorting, snot-blowing head coach. Mm-hmm. You got that guy that you don't like. So there are so many reasons for people to hate and dislike the New England Patriots. Unlike the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors' hatred is just, we've had this before.
Right, we're tired.
You're just tired of them, you know, and they're that much better than everybody else, and you're just like, okay, they're going to win again. I'm getting bored. You know, this is something you might have had years ago, you know, whether it be like the Braves going to the World Series or whatever it might be. But I don't think, I mean, you might look at Kevin Durant and say you're starting to act like a child, all right, but do you hate Steph Curry? Do you hate Klay Thompson?
I think a lot of people start to hate Kevin Durant now.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's like real. I just don't feel sense the hatred. And maybe it's obviously because we're here, we hear the hatred for this team. But there is hatred for this Patriots team. I feel, and people are just not only tired of it, like they are with Golden State, but they hate them.
Which I love.
Yeah, which I think is beautiful.
I think it's why I want
fantastic.
Them. Even though I'm picking against them, I want them to win just to continue that hate and just so that everybody around the country is just miserable. And the funny thing is, as much as the country, for the most part, wants the Patriots to lose, the television networks have got to be the other side. They have got to want the New England Patriots in that football game.
Well, I think they're in a can't-miss now.
It doesn't matter what the matchup is in any way. I think TV is going to win and CBS is going to win. But I would think in the end, CBS would mostly want New Orleans and New England in their Super Bowl.
I would think.
That'd
you know, Brady
ultimate.
Belichick, Peyton, Breeze, I get it. Although L.A., they're obviously trying to promote, you know, the
product
out
there,
in L.A.,
yeah.
The product out there, and, of course, Mahomes, the MVP of the league. So I don't think that they can go wrong. And I think you can't go wrong, really, as a fan. I mean, really, if the Patriots lose on Sunday, you're not going to look forward to a Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes versus one of those other two teams.
Unlike years in the past when the Patriots have lost a Super Bowl, or have lost in an AFC championship game or even in the divisional round, I've sort of kind of turned my attention away from the Super Bowl and kind of like, I'll watch it because it's the Super Bowl.
Won't happen this year.
No, if they lose, I'll be disappointed.
Right.
But are you kidding me? To watch Pat Mahomes against either Drew Brees
no doubt.
Or Jared Goff in that offense, I'm not turning away from that thing. I'm going to watch that from the very
first
second.
So you think they're going to lose? And yeah. You're basing that off, which is valid, because Woodray's the same way. I mean, because I battled with it for a while. No matter what I was feeling, I kept coming back to it's just on the road. They're just a different team.
Yeah.
You know, like this was a neutral site. If this was the Super Bowl, these two teams are going to Atlanta, you know, maybe you erase that road kind of feeling of being in someone else's stadium. But is that it? Is that the main reason? What else is there?
To me, that's the main reason, because I've watched this team.
You can say that's enough, because it might be.
Yeah, because I've watched this team the entire year, and they haven't proved to me or you or Glenn or Christian or anybody else that they can be the same team on the road in a hostile environment that they are at Gillette Stadium. And you bring up the first half of the Miami game. That's the Miami Dolphins. They're doing that on the road against a crap team.
Yep.
I want to see them be able to do it against a good team, and they haven't been able to do it against good teams at all on the road. So why would I have any faith? I understand. I said this to you earlier. I think you and a lot of people out there are looking and thinking about what you saw last. And the last thing you saw was Tom Brady looking good and then marching up and down the field against the L.A. Chargers. And I don't want to take anything away from the L.A. Chargers, but
in hindsight,
we went into that game.
Everything's easier when the game is over to analyze it.
Yes, but we all went into that game and we said, okay, this is going to be a tough Charger team. It's not the same team that they have been in the past. Not a soft Southern California team. Drew Brees is different this year. Well, guess what? No, they weren't different. Drew Brees was the same. Philip Rivers, the same choking dog that he always has been throughout the course of his career. So how much of it was the Patriots? And how much of it was the Los Angeles Chargers in that game last week?
Well, that's what I mean. You look back in hindsight, you know, and you just think of like 6-7 defenders and corners, you know, safety guys and corners up on the line of scrimmage. And to think for 2 weeks in a row, they're going to be the willingness to stick their noses in it after playing a physical game against Baltimore. And to think that the Patriots wouldn't be able to run through them, or the quick passing game, or how it wouldn't affect that San Diego team. I mean, they just got their doors blown out. But I put all the stock on Tom Brady. That's all. And I feel like for a while we questioned Tom. I mean, for the last few years, you had the Deflategate stuff. You had the suspensions, whether it was a young kid, Jimmy Garoppolo, pushing him. But when they traded Garoppolo and then the offseason happened, and it was the Tom versus Tom, and you started wondering, like, where did Tom go? You know, is that warrior spirit still there? Is that whole thing in Tom versus time? In order to beat me, you better be willing to sacrifice your life. And I feel like at the end of the year, I think he was hurt, and I think people were confusing that with he's old, he's done, and then he got healthy. So I think he's back on that sort of FU tour again of, oh, you think I'm done? Oh, you doubted me?
Okay, I'll show you.
So I think he's got that chip back. And he's always had that chip.
Well, I was going to say, did that chip ever go away?
Yeah, I think it might have.
Went away?
Quite frankly, I think when Jimmy G is gone and he's sitting there contemplating, you know, I got to question what it's really all about. Huh. And OTAs, he's not around. And just you're starting to wonder, is it the same guy? And I feel like just listening to him, you know, after that game or even the week leading up to it and how he played, he looks like the old Tom Brady, sounds like the old Tom Brady, and I ain't betting against that dude.
As fascinating,
ain't happening.
As fascinating as tomorrow is going to be, I'm as equally fascinated as to what the offseason holds. Do they draft a quarterback early rounds just for the fact of, okay, let's see, maybe this drives Tom again. Maybe we have to have another Garoppolo-type situation to push Tom along. Will Tom go to OTAs this year? Will he go to the
I think that might be an added benefit. But the real reason is because they got to find somebody.
Right.
I mean, if it's going to be the next 2 or 3 years sitting behind Tom, so be it. But they got to find something.
All right, 617-779-7937. Lou Maloney, Greg Dickerson will get into some football talk with you guys. Patriots and Chiefs. For you Patriot fans, you're picking the Pats. Why? Why are you picking the Patriots to win tomorrow's game? Don't be like Lou. Don't just say, Tom Brady.
Don't be like me. Don't be like Greg and just say, because it's on the road. Because it's on the road.
We're talking about you, Lou. We're not talking about me here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more from Winter Weekend out of Foxwoods Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Greg Dickerson and Lou Maloney broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
Question for me. You got a question for this guy?
I just wonder how you feel after you win the World Series and you came over with that purpose.
Yeah.
How is it for you? Is it like a sign of relief? How you feel, you know, as far as the commitment with the fan base and your game and your team as well?
Yeah, I mean, this is a winning city. And, you know, it's not really – it's an expectation. It's not like, oh, let's hope we win. Like, no, we're going to win. And obviously being traded, you know, 2 years ago here for, you know, some of their good prospects they had, you know, the pressure's on, you know. I mean, it's you know, crunch time. So, you know, obviously the first year, in 2017, didn't work out too well. But we learned from it. As a group, I think, you know, we retooled. You know, obviously got a new manager. New coaching staff, and I think that helped tremendously. Keeping it loose, having fun, but yeah, I mean, it's great being able to be here and experience this. You know, other than the duck boats, this is our first time really to kind of hang out with fun. You know, we're shaking hands, signing autographs, taking pictures, and you can see how just fulfilled they are and how excited they are. You know, I got people like, I didn't miss a game. I've been a Sox fan for 30 years. I've been watching. You know, this guy, and it's cool to see the evolution of that, and just, you know, after so many years and, you know, championships, they love this one just as much.
It's about an hour ago down here at Foxwoods at Red Sox Winter Weekend. Much more between Pedro Martinez and Chris Sale, who joined Lou Maloney and myself, as I said, about an hour ago. It was about as enjoyable of an interview that I've ever been a part of. You can hear more of it, more of Pedro and Chris Sale talking to each other, lobbing questions to one another. It'll be on our website at WEEI.com. Again, WEEI.com. You'll get that whole thing. Also, we'll have up in a little while David Ortiz talking about Tom Brady. Some great stuff from Big Poppy and growing old in sports, or getting older in sports, and kind of what it took for David Ortiz to play until 40 years of age. So we've got Xander Bogaerts will be our last guest. He's going to come up at about 2:30. So between now and then, we're going to go heavy with football and heavy with your phone calls. So 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Line up. Lou and Greg will talk Patriots, we'll talk AFC and NFC championship game. That's all coming up as we broadcast live from Red Sox Winter Weekend down at Foxwoods here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.